Yes, I'm Roger Clary, and we're going to record this today. So if you're listening on the podcast, this is Creative Commons license, steal it. Water, the universal solvent, the elixir of life. For 20 minutes, I'm inviting you to take a journey with me today to see the awesome splendor of science, from the smallest atoms to the size of the earth. For a most common substance to one of the most valuable, most important liquid in your life. Just 20 minutes, that's all I've got to explore water with you. One could spend a lifetime or two studying water, yet we are all familiar with this common everyday substance. I will briefly submerge you with water. Oh, sorry. First, its chemical, think magical characteristics. Second, its use and properties here on Mother Earth with 101 fantastic factoids about H2O. Last, I will consider water as a most basic human right and what you can do with your time and money to make this a better world. Wow! Now remember the nursery rhyme, let's get it right. From Samuel Taylor Coleridge, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. Water, water, everywhere, and all the boards did shrink. Water, water, everywhere, nor any drop to drink. Water covers 71% of the Earth's surface. Yet, this is fact number one, of all the water on Earth, humans can use only about 0.3%. Jill Granger, she's the lead laboratory research specialist, technical writer for the Michigan Center for Translational Pathology, whatever that is, at the University of Michigan. Here's what she says. Water plays an important role as a chemical substance. It has many important functions, including being a good solvent for dissolving many solids, serving as an excellent coolant, both mechanically and biologically, and acting as a reactant in many chemical reactions. Blood, sweat, and tears, all are solutions of water. Factoid number two. Roughly 70% of your body is made up of water. First, we're going to look at water like a chemist. Aristotle, remember him? He had the idea that air, earth, fire, and water are fundamental elements. Well, here's for Aristotle. Wrong, 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 wrong. In 1781, Henry Cavendish showed that water is composed of oxygen and hydrogen. Water is not an atomic element. Oxygen is an element and hydrogen is an element. But water is a compound made up of two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom, H2O, right? I will try to keep this science stuff simple. Think Mickey Mouse. Use your imagination. Picture Mickey's round face. This is the oxygen. And two round ears. These are the hydrogen atoms. The face is negatively charged and the ears are positively charged. These atoms are covalently bonded. That makes the water molecule strong. There's another factoid, this one you can forget. The HO bond lengths are 0.096 nanometers, and the HOH angle is 104.5 degrees. Now, for more information, ask Jim Howard. He's the real chemist. What are the five main properties of water? One, it's attracted to polar molecules, including itself. This gives high surface tension. Number two, high specific heat. Water can absorb a lot of heat. Number three, high heat of vaporization. It's hard to boil. Water exists in all three states on Earth, liquid, vapor, and solid. The lower density of ice compared to water makes ice float. And number five, high polarity. Good solvent. Remember those positive and negative charges. Chemically speaking, water is very weird. It doesn't behave at all like it should. Let's consider some things you know. Ice floats. That's not weird, is it? That's very weird. The solid state of most things are much denser than the liquid state and therefore sink. Usually what happens when a solid is formed is that the molecules become more tightly packed together. When things melt, the molecules move apart and get liquid. But water is weird. The solid state is less dense than the liquid. Water expands by 9% when it freezes and it floats. Water boils at 100 degrees Celsius and freezes at 0 degrees Celsius. This is certainly not unusual. Oh, yes, it is. Did you know that the Celsius temperature scale is based on the two physical changes of water? That wasn't done because water has typical chemical behavior, only because water is a familiar, ubiquitous substance. You may have realized, too, that the boiling point of water is not always 100 degrees C. Ever read cake mix directions? They give you different directions for high altitudes. That's because many physical changes depend on air pressure. The boiling point of water depends on the pressure of the air around it. If water were, quote, normal, it would be a gas at room temperature. No lakes, no rain, no body fluids. Is there anything else? Well, another result of the hydrogen bonding network is that water has a very high specific heat. That's like the baked potato effect. Once heated, water takes a long time to cool off. Or reverse, it takes a lot of heat to make hot water. Water is a tasteless, odorless liquid at ambient temperature and pressure and appears colorless in small quantities. We are still learning about water. On the 18th of March 2016, it was reported that the hydrogen bonds can be broken by quantum tunneling in the water hexamer. A hexamer is a polymer molecule made of six monomers, or a big molecule composed of small molecules. Enough chemistry. Number two, part two. How do we use, abuse, and waste water? The Earth is a closed system, similar to a terrarium, meaning that it rarely loses or gains extra matter. The same water that existed on the Earth millions of years ago is still present today. The United States uses about 346,000 million gallons of fresh water every day. The United States uses nearly 80% of the water for irrigation and electric power. A quick side note, wind power and solar power do not use water in their operation. Now, the average person in the United States uses anywhere from 80 to 100 gallons of water per day. Flushing the toilet actually takes up the largest amount of this water. The average cost for water supply to homes in the U.S. is about $2 for 1,000 gallons, which equals about 5 gallons for a penny. It's really cheap. Approximately 85% of U.S. residents receive their water from public water facilities. The remaining 15% supply their own water from private wells or other sources. Doing the math, that 346,000 million gallons of fresh water a day in the U.S. is about 1,000 gallons per person. You say, you don't use 1,000 gallons a day. And remember, 80% is used in agriculture and electric power generation. How do we use water indirectly? There'll be a short quiz about this at the coffee break, so pay attention. To create one pint of beer takes 20 gallons of water. 1 pound of beef requires 1,799 gallons of water. 1 gallon of wine requires 1,008 gallons of water. A slice of bread requires 11 gallons of water. One apple requires 18 gallons of water. 1 pound of chocolate requires 3,170 gallons of water. 500 sheets of paper requires 1,321 gallons of water. So you use a lot of water indirectly when you don't think so. Every time you get a piece of toast or get a piece of paper, you're using water. Producing a gallon of corn ethanol consumes 170 gallons of water in total. On the other hand, the water requirement to make a gallon of regular gasoline is just 5 gallons. Where do you use water? 27% for the toilet, 22% for clothes washing, 17% for showering and bathing, 16% at the faucet, like brushing your teeth and stuff, cleaning the vegetables, and 14% for leaks. We're talking about plumbing leaks here. Wow. If every time you turn off the faucet while brushing your teeth, you can save up to 4 gallons of water. That's more water than many people around the world have in a week. And that's from www.colgate.com/everydropcounts. A person can live about a month without food, but only a week without water. It takes about 12 gallons of water per day to sustain. This figure takes into account all uses of water, like drinking, sanitation, and food preparation. Water and air are the most important resources in the world. A story about water. Everybody likes stories. A friend of mine, Charlie Gouvet, the horticultural engineer, bought a lot by a small lake in Illinois. When he had a house built on the lot, he found out that to drill a well for water was going to cost a lot of money. At the same time, other people were building houses around the lake close to his house. He went to the others having houses built and proposed a cooperative. This cooperative was a not-for-profit organization owned by its users. Charlie designed a system allowing some excess capacity to add a few more houses. Everybody had good water at low cost. Eventually, Charlie sold his house and he moved to another city. Several years later, he got a phone call from one of the co-op members. If he came to town, would he come and look over the water system? It wasn't working as good as it did when it was first built. Eventually, Charlie went to check out the water system. He found that they had continuously added more and more customers. The pipe went halfway around the lake and had more than 25 homes connected. Upgrades were necessary now, but the system had worked with more than 3 times the original intent. Upgrades were installed. I guess the moral of this is cooperatives work and good engineering lasts a long time. Part 3 here. We have water problems. We have water problems in the U.S. Affordability from Detroit to Boston. The poor can't afford the basic need. From Flint to Tallahassee, too much lead. All over the U.S., 1/6 of all water is lost due to leaks. That's about 16%. Here's a quote. If we don't increase investment in water and sanitation, we're putting at risk by the year 2020 over $400 billion in U.S. gross domestic product, 700,000 jobs would be endangered, and over $500 billion in personal income could be at risk. So says Casey Dinges, the senior managing director of the American Society of Civil Engineers. So we've got to fix our water and sewer systems. We have the money, but lack political muscle. Privatizing water and sewers makes the problem even worse. The problems are even greater in other developing nations than the United States. In just one day, 200 million work hours are consumed by women collecting water for their families. Unsafe water kills 200 children every hour. Up to 50% of water is lost through leaks in cities in the developing world. 2/3 of the world's population is projected to face water scarcity by the year 2025, according to the United Nations. Water scarcity can take two forms: physical water scarcity, that is, low quantity of water, and economic water scarcity, that is, low quality of water or too expensive. A poverty level family of four making $23,300 should spend no more than 2% of their income on water. That's $466 a year, about $39 a month. Physical water scarcity. This term applies to dry, arid regions where fresh water is naturally occurring in low quantities. This is being greatly exacerbated by anthropomorphic activity that takes surface and groundwater faster than the environment can replenish it. Roughly translated, that means we have met the problem, and the problem is us. Regions most affected by this type of water scarcity are Mexico, northern and southern Africa, the Middle East, India, and northern China. Economic water scarcity. Economic water scarcity applies to areas or cultures that lack the physical or resources and/or human capacity to invest in water resources to meet the local demand. Water is often only available to those who can pay for it or those in political power, leaving millions of the world's poorest without access. Regions most affected by this type of scarcity are portions of Central and South America, Central Africa, India, and Southeast Asia. It is important to highlight the distinction between these two forms of scarcity. Water can be physically available, but the resources are not available to improve and distribute it to those who need it. More than one-third of the world cannot drink their local water without additional treatment. Now, water poverty and its related issues affect the health, wealth, education, and well-being of all those who live with water poverty every day. So supporting clean water initiatives can make a big difference for many of our fellow earthlings. Remember old number seven. Not Jack Daniel's old number seven, but respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. Okay, part four. If water is a most basic human right, what are you and me doing to fix the water problem? The Unitarian Universalist Service Committee's Environmental Justice Program promotes and defends the human right to water. The human right to water entitles everyone to safe, sufficient, accessible, and affordable water for personal and domestic use. The UUSC is on the cutting edge of ensuring that the human right to water is recognized in principle and becomes a reality. To achieve this goal, the UUSC supports civil society and grassroots groups in the struggle against water privatization and depletion, and promotes citizen involvement in the utilization and management of water as a common resource. Some of the UUSC projects. Safeguarded the water resources of 8.7 million people in Argentina and Chile via groundbreaking work on protecting glaciers. Supported a legal case in which the Mexican court ruled the city and the country are required to fully implement the human right to water. Held a mining company accountable for damaging the local water sources of 18 indigenous communities in Guatemala. It helped to pass and implement the California Human Right to Water Act, which benefits 11 million Californians who struggle to access clean water. Locally, as of November 2016, the Alabama Center for Rural Enterprise, a UUSC partner organization, that seeks to ensure equitable access to safe, affordable, and adequate water and sanitation for all communities, is working on the problem of black belt prairie soils that don't allow for traditional individual septic systems to function effectively. This is leaving many residents waiting in raw sewage. Ugh. Another UUSC project. They advocated for water affordability in Boston, Massachusetts, where Mayor Marty Walsh announced a 30% discount on water rates for low-income seniors and individuals with disabilities. Okay, here's the punchline here. Support the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee's environmental justice program with some bucks. You know? Okay. Here's an interesting sort of conclusion. One third of what the world spends on bottled water in 1 year could pay for projects providing water to everyone in need. And the last fact, water is a precious resource. Don't waste it. That's it. Thank you.